The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus explains today a parable which was read at daily Mass on Saturday. And if you didn't hear daily Mass on Saturday, it might help just to have a little bit of a review to help make deeper sense of what you just got finished hearing. It's a parable that you've probably all heard before. It's a parable that's known as the weeds in the field. And it goes something like this. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a landowner who sowed good seed into his field and then went to sleep. While he was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout his field and then disappeared. As the harvest grew, the weeds and the wheat began to appear together. And the laborers in the field turned to the landowner and they said, "Master, did you not sow only good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from? Do you want us to go and rip them up?" The landowner replied, "No. If you rip them up, you may destroy the good wheat as well. Let them grow together, and I myself will separate them at the harvest time." It's a parable that describes a crime which was punishable under Roman law, and it was a crime by which you'd take a weed called a bearded darnel, you'd throw the seeds into the field of somebody who you really didn't like. And as that bearded darnel grew, it looked exactly like wheat, intertwining right in with the wheat. And you couldn't tell the difference until the very end, in which the wheat would sprout into a beautiful golden brown and the bearded darnel a poisonous and dark slate gray. So the landowner, who is God, allows both good and evil in the world. He says, "Let them both grow together." It's a parable of God's forbearance towards sin and evil and people who do very bad things, a forbearance that will last until the end of time. And in the meantime, both saints and sinners, good and evil, will coexist in this world and even in the church. So God gives us his parable because he knows quite well that we all have the question to him on a daily or even hourly basis, "Why do you allow such evil in the world, God? Why don't you do something? I mean, certainly I would. Step aside, God. Let me take over. I can do a better job being God of this universe than you can." God knows we have that question. So he gives us his parable. And from the scriptures, at least, I can think of at least two reasons why God allows such evil in the world. First is this. It's because heaven is so great and hell is so terrible that God will go to great, great lengths to save even one person. You might remember the first reading we heard on Sunday, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleads with God not to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah despite their sins, which have climbed as high as heaven. And he says,
Would you save the city if I found 50 good people? Would you save the city if I found 30 good people? What if I found only 10 good people and said, God says, yes, I will save the city. Why does God allow such evil in the world? To bring in as many people as he possibly can. That's why. To bring in as many people as he possibly can. And if God had a swift and strict and exacting justice, lots of saints wouldn't have made it. Think about that. I'm talking about people like Mary Magdalene, or St. Paul, or Matthew the tax collector, or St. Augustine. Certainly dozens and dozens of us sitting right here as well, we wouldn't have made it, would we, if God had been as strict and exacting in his justice as we expect him to be right now. The second reason, of course, as I mentioned before, is that God always brings a greater good out of whatever evil he allows. So when you see evil in the world, this is very helpful. Pray about the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday. That's God's playbook. Think about as much, many of those events as you can. Think about the evil of Judas Iscariot and his betrayal, or the denial of Simon Peter, or the cowardice of Pontius Pilate, or the cruelty of the Roman soldiers who drove nails through his hands. And remember, you can't nail God to a cross unless he lets you do that. He allowed all that evil to happen. And why? Very mysterious, but the redemption and the salvation that we know and treasure wouldn't have happened without it. And of course, all the bad seed in the world does not prevent the growth of the good. So what we want to do is we want to resist the temptation to give in to a holy impatience. I didn't make up that phrase. That came from Pope Benedict. Holy impatience, because swift, massive, and immediate change in the world just isn't God's style. Don't worry. There will be justice. Do you know what we call God's perfect justice meted out only at the end of all things? That's called God's vengeance. And believe me, it will not disappoint any of us. But in the meantime, let's work really hard to make sure we're on the right side of God's vengeance. We can begin by rooting up all of the weeds in our own souls and asking for the prayers of the saints to help us as well. Saints Joachim and Anne, pray for us.